Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and online at WGNSradio.com. If it's passed, bounced, or hit, we're talking about it. All Sports Talk is on News Radio WGNS.
All Sports Talk is sponsored by Good Neighbor State Farm agents Andy Womack, Bud Morris, and Deb Insel, Chip Walters with Exit Realty, Bob Lamb and Associates, Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home, First Bank, Fat Willie's Sports Bar on River Rock Boulevard in Murfreesboro, Parks Auction Company, Greg Hall with Hall's Auto Care, and the Blue Raider Insider Report is sponsored by Mike Tansel and My Team Insurance, Steve Ruckert with RAI Advisors, and Rayburn Insurance in Smyrna.
We put the all in All Sports Talk. From the preps to MTSU, we've got you covered. It's All Sports Talk on Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Thursday, it's been a kind of a messy day, but glad that you're with us for All Sports Talk. A special guest with me today, Matthew Gillespie, no stranger to All Sports Talk, the assistant director of TSSAA, a Murfreesboro native and an Oakland High School graduate. Matt, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Always good to join you.
Always good to be on. Lots going on with TSSAA. It never ceases to change a good bit. Why don't we do this, Matt, to start the program? Let's just kind of review from way back in the fall the championships that have taken place and maybe some highlights that have gone through the deal. You don't need to go through every one of them, but just kind of review a little bit where we are to date.
Sure, yeah. It's once we get started in the fall with our golf championships, which is usually early October, it's kind of a whirlwind with event after event after event, and it's good. I mean, it's keeps us busy, keeps us on our toes. But you know, we go from golf into volleyball championships and cross country and girls soccer, and then we get to football, that was certainly a great event. All of them were. Everything was great this year, and then a little bit of a break and over Christmas and. And then we get straight into kind of our winter whirlwind with bowling championships and 3 weeks of wrestling and then or 3 weekends of wrestling and then 3 straight weeks of basketball championships. So those just wrapped up, here with the Division I championships at Murphy Center over a 2 week period. And the Division II was held in Cookeville, Tennessee Tech, which has been very successful. Good site and location there. But everybody knows the history of how long we've been at MTSU and Murphy Center, and it continues to be, you know, an outstanding event. And it's a lot, but, we got through it and some long days, but great championships, great opportunities to give those student-athletes a chance to be seen and competing for those championship events.
Sports like basketball, Matt, and football are well-known to folks across the state, but this business about girls wrestling, for example, or bowling, those are things that really don't hit the top of the charts oftentimes. And I think some people might be surprised to know that those things are available.
Yeah, well, it's, and the level of competition in those sports has just continued to rise. The bar has been getting higher and higher every year with how good these athletes are. And bowling, we've had it amazingly for well over 20 years now as a sanctioned sport. Girls wrestling for a handful of years. We had an invitational for girls wrestling for a little while, but it's now we were one of the first states to sanction it as an officially sanctioned sport, and it's continued to thrive, and it's gotten bigger and bigger every single year. The amount of girls participating in that sport has grown every year, which is good to see. We've got some girls who are recognized not only by winning state championships, but they go on to a lot of these outside tournaments and win national championships, and some even recognized at the global level, which is amazing. So it's sports like that, it's about opportunities and giving these student athletes opportunities. And one we can talk about, which our council just got into. We just officially sanctioned girls flag football beginning with 24 and 25. So that's something new. We're one of, I think, now 10 states in the country that have that as a sanctioned sport. So that's something exciting to look forward to beginning with next school year.
Well, you got lacrosse is coming in too, which is a relatively new sport to many of us in Middle Tennessee. I know that, am I right to say typically private schools have been the ones that have been participating in lacrosse prior to this?
For a large part, at the, you know, what I think a lot of people refer to as the club level, where it's, you know, a sport that schools do participate in, but it's not necessarily sanctioned under the TWSAA umbrella. And that meaning that, you know, schools do that, but our eligibility rules don't come into play. We don't run the tournaments and set up districts and regions for regular season play for quote unquote club sports. Swimming is another one that's not sanctioned under our umbrella that a lot of schools participate in. And that's great. Not every sport has to be under the TWSAA umbrella. There's a process that we go through, just like with anything. And, that has to be proposed by a member school to be sanctioned. And, you know, we get feedback from other membership, look at how many schools are participating and figure out. And in fact, some folks in the swimming community did come forward and some schools wanted to sanction it. But after getting feedback from a lot more, the majority, they were kind of happy with the way things are going. So our council did not approve that as a sanctioned sport. And that's fine. I think they've got a well-organized group and the way they've done it for many, many years and continues to be successful the way they're running it now. But yeah, so we've got lacrosse coming. And like you said, I think a lot of Division II or private schools have been participating in that. But I think you're going to see some quick growth in that now that it is a sanctioned sport. A lot of public schools will start participating in that. And we've seen that already. They do, but not near the level that private schools do. But I think that'll grow quickly. So we're excited about those two sports coming on board next year.
Well, lacrosse has been on the board, I guess, for 4, 5, 6 years being discussed and finally put into place. Flag football has been in the discussion stage and finally going to happen. Kind of go through the bones of how this those kind of things work for sports to be approved, to be held, and how much time does it take to kind of get that thing rolling?
Yeah, it varies. You know, lacrosse took a little longer than most sports do. At one point it was sanctioned, and after going back, our council kind of withdrew that sanctioning because I think a lot more issues crept up in regards to how it was going to run. I think some issues with officials, the availability of officials, how much they would get paid, things like that really need to be ironed out and worked out. And there are some hurdles, you know, in regards to a lot of lacrosse teams were, you know, we have what we have in place for all sports. You can form a co-op with another school. Well, you can only do that with one other member school. And a lot of cases in lacrosse, they were forming teams amongst more than just two schools. Three schools would come together to form a team, maybe four. So they had to iron out on their end, all right, can we still make this work? Can these teams still exist if we just can co-op with one other school compared to two others or three others? And I think they've gotten to the point to where that is kind of worked out and given them a little extra time to iron those things out and plan ahead. So that took a little longer than typical, but it does start from a grassroots level and with member schools. And, hey, we've got interest. We have kids who want to do this, or they already are doing it at the club level, things like that, and seeing where those numbers are and if there is interest across the membership of, you know, well over 450 member high schools. We've got as many middle schools, if not more now. So it is a process. And girls' flag football is a little different. It started. We've got a great relationship with Tennessee Titans, and the NFL is really behind getting girls involved in the sport of flag football, and so the Titans have helped support that and kind of started, I guess, what you could call pilot programs in counties like Williamson County and Montgomery County, and Metro Nashville got on board this year. It's a spring sport, so it will occur in the spring just like lacrosse will as well. And the difference with something new with girls flag football is our council voted to, I guess, define what we call now an emerging sport. So it's a sport that maybe isn't fully off the ground, and that's what girls flag football has gotten sanctioned as. The only difference between a sanctioned sport and a sanctioned emerging sport is we will not host an actual state championship for the emerging sport. Gotcha. Now they may have a county championship or a championship with schools in their area, things like that. But until we get the numbers to a certain level, it won't officially be a sanctioned sport. to where we run the championship and host the state championship for that. But everything else will be the same. We'll set up districts, regions. They'll have to go through the eligibility process with their student athletes, things like that. So we'll see where those numbers go after year one with girls flag football. And I will not be surprised if they rise very quickly. A lot of school systems and schools get on board with that, and it'll be sanctioned just like the others before we know it.
More conversation with Matthew Gillespie from the TSSAA office right after this on All Sports Talk.
Hey, fellas, if you've been feeling tired and grumpy and have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center, which is where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Most insurance is accepted for treatment. Go to LowTCenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
If someone asked, what's your more, would you be surprised? Well, at First Bank, knowing your more is where we start. Whether it's seeing your kid's college graduation, seeing the world, or seeing the ocean from your patio, your more helps us see who you are. That's why First Bank offers you more time, more access to local lenders and leaders, more answers, and more products. So tell us, what's your more? First Bank. Bank local. Get more. Member FDIC.
Parks Auction. We handle everything.
The auction is a means of drawing people together for a quick, easy sale.
I've always been a big fan of auctions. You know, you get instant sale, no contingencies and everything. I've known the guys over there my entire life.
Visit our website at parksauction.com to learn more.
Hi, there, do I have a hi now?
Call Parks Auction at 896-4600. Stan Vaught and the Parks Auction team are proud supporters of local high school and MTSU sports.
Your ride, your stuff. You live with them together. I'm State Farm Agent Bud Morris. It's smart to protect them together to help life go right. Give me a call at 615-893-1417 and let me help you save by combining your auto and renters. Your home, your auto, together, they're where life happens. I'm State Farm Agent Bud Morris. It's smart to protect them together. Give me a call at 615-893-1417 and let me help you save by combining your home and auto.
All Sports Talk on News Radio WGNS on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Segment 2 and 3, 2, 1. Welcome back into All Sports Talk. Mentioned that we are with Matthew Gillespie, Assistant Director of the TSSAA. Matt, we've kind of gone in review. Let's look ahead to one of the biggest deals that happened in Rutherford County and Murfreesboro is Spring Fling. And that's a unique thing to the state of Tennessee. I guess I'm a little surprised that other states maybe have not adopted it since it's been so successful here. But share with us where we're headed with Spring Fling.
Yeah, so it's where he'll be here before we know it. It'll be the week before Memorial Day weekend, as it is every year, and it is a huge event. We have 5 sports championships in the sports of baseball and softball, track, tennis, and boys soccer all take place within the same week, within the same city, and obviously that being Murfreesboro, and Murfreesboro's hosted it longer than any other city. Has it started in Chattanooga in the mid-90s, and we held it there, I believe, for 9 years. Moved to Memphis for 3 years, and then has been in Murfreesboro ever since. So I think it speaks to Rutherford County and MTSU and their involvement. And, you know, it is such a huge undertaking, and you've got to have the infrastructure to do it, not only from a facility standpoint, but one of the biggest pieces of Spring Fling is the volunteers. If we don't have the volunteers, we can't run this event. And the Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce does an outstanding job getting those people lined up, because it's, you think about, you know, what it takes to just run one championship event, whether it's basketball or football, and they stand alone, but we're bringing 5 of them together, and you got to do that all in the same time frame in the same location, in essence. So it's a huge undertaking, but it's a big event. There'll be, you know, over 40,000 athletes, I believe, that come in for that, and it's not that many, I'm sorry, over 4,000 or 5,000 athletes that come in. So it's huge, and it's the pinnacle for these spring sport championships. And again, the facilities here, I mean, we do it at 10 baseball fields. We've got the McKnight softball complex and Starplex that we use there, Siegel Soccer Park, the Adams Tennis Complex hosts tennis, MTSU track and field. So the facilities are, you know, second to none, and that's a big piece of it. And we're excited, and it's going to be big. One big change, though, we've got this year, I think a lot of the softball people are excited about, and we are too, is the championship games will be held at MTSU softball field for the first time. We had to change the format a little bit to get it to that point, but it will be very similar schedule set up as baseball has it when baseball does their championships on Thursday and Friday at Reese Smith Field. Then softball championships will be going on the same days at MTSU softball field. So we're excited about that. It's something new to spring fling this year.
I got a feeling Jeff Breeden, former coach at Riverdale and Coffee County, I believe, in high school, now at MTSU. Jeff, I would guess, had an integral part in maybe making that happen.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's got the history of he took many teams to the softball state tournament, to spring fling, and so he's had that experience, and I think he realized – you know, when we came to MTSU and discussing this possibility, certainly they welcomed us with open arms and looking at doing that. And I think his experience in that certainly probably went a long way in knowing what it would mean to these high school athletes to play on a field like that compared to playing their championship games. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, what we've got there at Starplex is great for what we're able to do. Sure. And run that tournament with so many games. But to culminate the championships on a field special like that, and a different setup, something the kids aren't used to playing on all year long, just puts it on a bigger stage, and that's what you want to do for these events.
You mentioned volunteers. Matt, let's see how close I'm going to be. You need ticket takers. You need somebody to measure the long jump at the track. You've got people in the parking lots. You got people guiding folks from here to there in the area. What kind of other volunteer work could somebody do if they – decided that, hey, this is something I need to help out with?
Well, gosh, if you started a list, it'd be a long one. But it's you've kind of hit on the main ones. I mean, it's a wide variety. I mean, if they think, well, I want to volunteer for something, but I'm not sure what, I guarantee you the chamber can find an area or a responsibility for them to do, because it's just endless. And then you hit on a lot of them, whether it's ticket takers or, you know, it could be people taking care of media hospitality. You could be working at the parking lot, taking up money for a school or for a site. So it's an endless list of responsibilities and needs there. And we are so appreciative of anybody who volunteers their time. And there's people who are volunteering that volunteer every single year and have done so from the first year we moved it to Murfreesboro. And those people, it's can't go without thanking them. And the ones who've never done it before that say, hey, you know, I'm going to give back and give a little time to helping out these local schools and our community. And so like they say, it takes a village, and it certainly does with spring fling for sure.
Well, I know we don't want to bother the good Lord with prayers that aren't significant, but having nice weather during those few days sure helps out, doesn't it?
That's a big help. It's a lot of, and it's always, it's not just spring fling, but anytime you have an outdoor event, things run so much smoother when you have good weather. But of course, you got to be prepared to fight through the battles of not having the weather you'd like. I mean, we can take 75 and 80 degrees and sun every day, but we know we're not going to get that all the time. So we've had, numerous delays and games canceled, and we've had games finish at 1 in the morning. And it can be a wide variety. You never know that time of year. You get storms that pop up and some nasty weather, but hopefully it'll be on the better end of things this year.
Matt, where are the newest sports, lacrosse and girls flag football, how do they fit into the TWSWA sports calendar?
So they will be spring sports, of course, as I mentioned earlier, we won't have an official state championship for girls flag football in the first year. Lacrosse, we will, and we're still ironing out those details, exactly the location of that. And the timing, their state championship will probably take place right before spring fling starts, whether that's the week before or 2 weeks before. But it won't necessarily be encompassed under the umbrella of spring fling, but their calendar will be very similar to other spring sports, but be a little bit different. But again, it won't be part of spring fling, but they will be spring sports.
Matt, let's take a break, get to Chip Walters with the Blue Raider Insider Report. When we come back, I'd like to just talk some sports with you away from TSSAA, because I know you're a sports fan just like I am, a Middle Tennessee fan for sure. But we'll take that break with Chip Walters and be right back.
Sounds great.
If you're not waking up to the Wake Up Crew, here's what you've been missing.
You had a day off in... Yeah,
I do too. Don't miss the Wake Up Crew with John, Brian, and Dalton.
Mr. Haney, quit working.
Here on News Radio, WGNS.
Good afternoon. I'm trying to move all the damaged vehicles from my earlier wreck. 40 going westbound at Spence Lane. It's already heavy going eastbound in that area as you head on out into Donaldson, continuing out into Wilson County, where it's still going to slow on you. 40 east at 840, just outside of Lebanon. It's been slow for about an hour now on 65 south. You approach 840 down in Spring Hill. That got a little bit slow earlier. Right when you come south of Franklin, you're going to hit some traffic down through there on 65 going south. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has a brand new menu with brand new items on it. You can order online right now, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's Commander Chuck, and it's my goal to get you to and from work each weekday around the congestion and all the accidents. Listen for my traffic reports every weekday morning and afternoon here on News Radio WGNS and see real-time traffic information at ontimetraffic.net.
Hello, friends. Lenny Farmer with Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home. More than I can count, we have taken care of families who were totally caught off guard with the passing of a loved one. There are so many details to tie up. It really can be overwhelming. Again, more than I can count are the comments from families who have pre-planned and pre-funded their or their loved one's funeral, saying, "I'm so thankful we took care of this ahead of time. It would have been a financial hardship had we not. Let me help you pre-plan." Call me at 615-893-2422.
In Rutherford County, you know how much it means to have neighbors you can count on. I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama, here to help life go right when you combine home and auto insurance. Call me today at 615-890-0850 and let me save you money and time. Your home, your auto. Together, they're where life happens. I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama. It's smart to protect them together to help life go right. Give me a call at 615-890-0850 and let me help you save by combining your home and auto.
Next on WGNS and All Sports Talk, it's the Blue Raider Insider Report with Chip Walters of Exit Realty Bob Lamb and Associates, brought to you by Rayburn Insurance, RAI Advisors, and My Team Insurance. The report coming up after this.
When Rutherford Countyans think of insurance professionals, they think Rayburn Insurance Agency at 200 South Lowry in Smyrna, meeting the needs of thousands of customers since 1973. You can trust Rayburn Insurance with all your needs, a place where customer service really matters. It's personal with Rayburn Insurance, as fans of local sports, as friends, and as insurance professionals. Check them out at rayburn.net or call 615-459-4145. Rayburn Insurance, for business, auto, home, and life insurance.
All Sports Talk on News Radio WGNS on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and let's talk about what's coming up this weekend. Really want to make sure everybody has all the information. This rain that we've had all day today is going to move out, and the weather for the weekend looks absolutely fabulous. And coming up on Saturday, the Blue Raider Athletic Showcase, five different athletic teams are playing at home this weekend, and it's an opportunity if you're new in town, just want to do something with the kids, or just you like to go out and watch. Here's an opportunity to do just that. At 11 a.m., the women's tennis team will take on Sam Houston. At noon, the soccer team will take on Belmont. At noon, Floyd Stadium will open. At 1 o'clock, the blue and white football game will get underway with Coach Derek Mason and the blue and white team, with each side having an honorary coach that is a former Blue Raider player. And, of course, there's a lot of interest in that, just to see how the new offense, the new defense is going to look under Coach Mason. At 3 o'clock, baseball will take on New Mexico State in Game 2 of the three-game weekend series. And also at 4 o'clock, the softball team will take on Liberty in Game 2 of the three-game weekend series. Again, 11 a.m., tennis at the new Outdoor Tennis Center. Noon, soccer versus Belmont at the Dean Hayes Track and Soccer Complex. Football in Floyd Stadium at 1, baseball at Reese Smith Field at 3, and softball at Observatory Park coming up at 4 o'clock. So make your plans to be there this weekend, all on Saturday. All right, speaking of baseball, the Blue Raiders open a series tomorrow night against New Mexico State. You can hear the games right here on WGNS. The weekend times are 6 o'clock on Friday, 3 o'clock on Saturday, and 1 p.m. On Sunday, all at Reese Smith Field. This will be the 17th meeting in the series between Middle Tennessee and New Mexico State. Going back to our Sun Belt days, Middle leads the overall series 9-7, and the Blue Raiders swept the previous series against the Aggies. That was 19 years ago in 2005. And Friday night weekend promotions. Each Friday night at the Reese is bingo, trivia, and more. Fans who participate will have the opportunity to receive special prizes. Friday is also National Grilled Cheese Day. There will be $2 grilled cheese available for all fans. And Friday night, first 100 fans get Viper sunglasses. Again, that is all on Friday night. Saturday will be the Salute Saturday with all kinds of giveaways there, and MTSU alumni will receive discounted tickets for Saturday's game when purchased in advance, so get ready for that. All right, softball is at home this weekend to face Liberty. Middle is 18-24 overall, 5-10 in conference play. Liberty 23-16 and are 12-3 in the league. Right now, Liberty leads Conference USA with that 12-3 record. Western is 10-5. Louisiana Tech and New Mexico State are 7-5. Jacksonville State 6-6. UTEP 5-7. FIU 4-8. And MTSU 5-10. Sam Houston is 4-11 on the year. Women's tennis traveled to Bowling Green, Kentucky yesterday to take on Western Kentucky. The Lady Raiders fell to Western Kentucky by a score of 4-1. And congratulations, 3 Blue Raiders in women's golf named All-Academic Team. It will be Kendall Maynard, Abby Lee, and Molly Bebelar. Congratulations to those Lady Raider golfers named Conference USA All-Academic. All right, that's it for today. We'll have another update for you coming up prior to the baseball game tomorrow right here on WGNS.
Whether you need general vehicle upkeep and maintenance or a complete vehicle overhaul, Hall's Auto Care is here for you. We're locally owned and operated by Greg Hall and have been in business since 2014. You'll get excellent service and trustworthy advice with Hall's Auto Care. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. We're ready to help get you safely on the road. Hall's Auto Care, 907 Ridgely Road, just off Broad Street behind Chili's. Online at hallsautocare.net. Hall's Auto Care.
Hi, this is Chip Walters with Exit Realty Bob Lamb & Associates. You might know me as the voice of the Blue Raiders, but I want to be your trusted advisor in real estate. Whether you're buying or selling, it's time to choose Chip. Do you have a growing family and need to upsize? Are you an empty nester now and need to downsize? Are you thinking of selling your current home but just worried you can't find something else? Well, it's time to choose Chip. I'm looking to be your trusted advisor in real estate. I'm Chip Walters with Exit Realty Bob Lamb & Associates.
Hey, if you're looking to wind down after a hard day's work or enjoy a night out with your friends, let me suggest Fat Willie's Sports Bar and Grill located on River Rock Boulevard. Fat Willie's features 9 regulation pool tables, steel tip darts, and buzz time trivia and poker. The beer prices are excellent and they have a huge selection as well as 5 craft beers on tap daily. Fat Willie's also has your favorite bar foods. Live trivia is held every Tuesday night and pool tournaments are held throughout the week. So if you're looking for a cozy and affordable sports bar with all the amenities, be sure to check out Fat Willie's on River Rock Boulevard next to the Animal Center.
All Sports Talk on News Radio WGNS on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome. In 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to All Sports Talk. Thanks to Chip Walters for his excellent report. As always, Matthew Gillespie joins me from the Assistant Director's Office at TSSAA. Always appreciate Matt coming on. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Matt, you're a Murfreesboro native, Oakland High School graduate, MTSU man. Kind of talk about the scope of college sports as you see it right now, because we've tried to solve it on this show, and we haven't found any answers yet.
Well, you won't get any answers from me. I can give my opinion, but I certainly don't have any solutions. If I had them, I'd certainly be relaying them to the folks that that make all those decisions. But it's certainly interesting right now, and we see it a little bit at the high school level, but it's had no effect that you certainly see at the collegiate level with NIL and their transfer portal and everything going on there. It's different than what all of us who follow athletics and specifically college athletics are used to seeing from over the years. And it's, in some cases troubling, but I guess it depends on what side of the fence you stand on. I think there's a lot of things that, if you look from a student athlete's perspective, some opportunities they've got that are good. And, I think each piece of it is a conversation in itself. Is this right or is this wrong? But I think there certainly needs to be a little bit better oversight, or, there's a lot of things that need to be ironed out. So many people think that Congress needs to get involved. I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but there's, and that's just, one piece. Then you see the effects of, and it really gives you a perspective that this is a business. It has turned into one. It always has been to some extent, but bigger than a lot of people imagined that it would be. And you look at the structure of where college football specifically is going with, you see this playoff expand, and the second they expand it, well, they've already voted for, or are about to figure out 2 years later, well, something we haven't even tried, we're going to go ahead and change that, So you blink your eyes and something different happens. It's hard to keep up with, honestly. I mean, sometimes I can't even figure out who's in what conference anymore. That's changing all the time as well. And you look at MTSU and they're in Conference USA. And I hate to say this, but I couldn't tell you every member of Conference USA right now because it just changed. And it seems to change every year. And it's no fault of Conference USA or those member schools. It's just the overall structure of everything. And some conferences gobble up other teams, and it's the whole domino effect. And then that trickles into, well, these schools move to this one who needs a couple more schools. And now all of a sudden you look at things like Pac-12 is now dissolved because of that domino effect. And that's, on a little bit higher level than where middle sits. But it does end up having an effect on, I guess, the terminology of quote-unquote mid-major schools and their conferences as well. So, yeah, it's I'm not saying anything nobody doesn't know already, but it's interesting to say the least.
Well, I try to keep things in perspective. If you look back historically to where things were in the 50s, so many things have changed between then and now. The incept of black athletes coming into the fold, for sure. The Division 1, 2, and 3 being set up. So many things happening. The conference changes, as you mentioned. So things have to evolve. But this one, I think, is probably for most people scarier than anything else that's come along before, because I think with schools – like middle, there's got to be a concern, at least amongst the fan base, and I'm thinking the coaches the same way. We recruit these guys. We take maybe an underdeveloped player, bring them in, and develop them into an outstanding player, and all we're going to likely do is set that up for them to be picked off and taken to another school.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part. And I think you said it best with, there's always changes. I mean, we've got to be prepared for – nothing's going to stay the same. There's always going to be changes. But when you see this many drastic changes in such a short time frame, it is a little alarming, or it certainly takes you back a little bit and think, whoa, we got to slow down a little bit. But you can't stop it. I mean, it's just constantly going. And you think about, you hear it, whether it's the high school level or even below that, and certainly collegiate and NFL, everybody talks about, creating a level playing field. Well, are we really doing that? Is that where we're at right now? I don't know. I don't know what the best solution is, and what's fair to some may not be fair to others. And it's I'm glad I'm not in charge of making those decisions. That's for sure.
Matt, is it fair to say that eligibility issues with TSSAA may be the most controversial and the toughest thing to deal with that you guys do on a day to day basis?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, it's. And just like that, like kind of like what we're talking about. I mean, things change all the time. We've got eligibility rules that change, and there's a process for that through the membership and through their elected officials who are on the legislative council or board of control. The council is the ones who's charged with changes to the bylaws and constitution. So, anytime you see changes in eligibility rules, that's who that goes through. And certainly they're looking at things all the time, proposals to, you know, we just made some changes to the calendar recently in regards to off-season practice with sports and a lot of things that kind of go unnoticed, but it's big to the schools and to the teams competing and what they're able to do. So, we see that all the time. The transfer rule is in constant discussion right now. We see some, you know, things pop up in discussions at the state legislative level. Hopefully it stays out of that. We think things have run pretty well in this association that's been in existence for almost 100 years. Now, coming up on next year, be 100th anniversary. So it's an organization, member schools who write their own rules, and that's the process, and we hope it continues to stay like that. And it's, you know, and not all the rules are exactly what everybody agrees on, but again, it's sure. A process that they go through. But yeah, it's something that changes all the time, but it's something that's important. I mean, again, it goes back to kind of that discussion of creating a level playing field and having schools on the same level. And one, you know, controversial issue they've discussed recently is rules for boarding schools and boarding school students and how transfer rules apply to them. So something the council will continue to discuss, and wouldn't be surprised if we see some changes in some form or fashion within the next calendar year or so.
Matt, there'd be some that would say the high schools have been dealing with issues that the portal has brought up to the college game for a long time. The portal in the college is allowing students to transfer from one place to another and be eligible to play immediately. We see schools, and right here in Murfreesboro, I think Oakland High School has been the recipient of a lot of good transfer kids come in. And Kevin Creasy, I'm convinced, is not going out here and trying to recruit the big R word, but the program recruits a lot of players that we've had the same issues with other schools in the past. And I know there's folks out there that gnash their teeth about the idea that kids can leave one school and go play at another one and play immediately.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only way they can really move to a different school and play immediately is if they've got a bona fide change of residence by their family unit that justifies a change in schools to that school. So as far as a transfer, now we've got some hardship situations that occur, and there's a process for that. They have to make an application, give reasoning for that. Those are all reviewed on an individual basis. But, yeah, there's eligibility transfer rules in place, and they all do apply. Some people transfer. I mean, you may see a transfer that, oh, where'd they get him from? He came in from wherever. Well, they very well could have set out the previous year. They took a chance and said, look, I really want to be at the school. I'm going to transfer and not move. I'm going to have to sit out a year. And then all of a sudden they make an impact the following year and things like that. So that occurs as well. But, the transfer students we deal with, I'm sure we've got numbers, but I mean, it's one of the biggest things we deal with is transfers, and there's a process schools have to go through and all the information they have to supply for that. But a lot of times when you see schools get successful in certain sports, the program itself just attracts attention and attracts, you know, individuals to thinking, well, you know, I'd really like to play for that coach, or sure, I'd really like to go to that school and have a chance of, you know, it might give me better attention to go into the next level. And of course, we all know the numbers on how many kids actually go to the next level, but those opportunities are there, and some people choose to make those decisions and do that. But it's something we deal with on a daily basis.
Man, let's go take our last break, and we'll come back and we'll hit on some other issues with TSSAA. Thanks for being with us. Matthew Gillespie, the Executive Assistant Director of TSSAA. We'll be right back with more All Sports Talk.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Spend your middays with us, Rick and Bubba.
We're on WGNS each weekday from noon till 2 on Rutherford County's Good Neighbor Station.
News Radio WGNS.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Good afternoon. Trying to move all the damaged vehicles from an earlier wreck. 40 going westbound at Spence Lane. It's already heavy going eastbound in that area as you head on out into Donelson. Continuing out into Wilson County, where it's still going to slow on you. 40 east at 840 just outside of Lebanon. It's been slow for about an hour now on 65 south. Where you approach 840 down in Spring Hill. It got a little bit slow earlier. Right when you come south of Franklin, you're going to hit some traffic down through there on 65 going south. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has a brand new menu with brand new items on it. You can order online right now, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We do it your way at Sir Pizza.
Your favorites can now be ordered online at SirPizzaTN.com. Carryout and delivery are available. Just go to SirPizzaTN.com and tap the location closest to you.
Are you paying hundreds of dollars too much for your home and auto insurance? Let the team at My Team Insurance help, a true independent insurance agency that represents you in protecting your home, your cars, your business, your life, and your health. Call My Team Insurance today, 895-4201. That's 895-4201. Proud to be sponsoring the Blue Raiders and proud to say, let's go Blue!
You're listening to the flagship station for Blue Raiders sports.
Caught 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Middle Tennessee.
Play up and score.
Middle Tennessee football, basketball, and baseball.
Yeah, we got them.
You're listening to the flagship station for Blue Raider athletics. I'm Chip Walters. Hear the games here on News Radio WGNS.
Middle Tennessee wins.
Raiders win the championship.
Your source for the big blue in the borough. News Radio WGNS. All sports talk on News Radio WGNS on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Back into All Sports Talk. This portion brought to you by First Bank. Banks across the state of Tennessee, and even some in the state of Alabama and Kentucky, I believe, over 90 banks in the state now. Certainly here in Murfreesboro, glad to have all First Bank as one of our sponsors. And Matt, I'm pretty sure First Bank is one of the sponsors of TSSAA.
They are. They are indeed, yeah. And we're certainly appreciative of them and been with them for a good number of years now. So, yeah, we're appreciative of their support of high school athletics.
It's a complicated thing to put the kids out on the field, but Matt, there's so many folks that need to be involved with that. You got your faculty coaches, you got your non-faculty coaches, you got people like First Bank, All Sports Talk that promote the sport, people like yourself that are in the day-to-day grind of it all. It's really a complicated thing, but it's all for the students.
It is. It's providing, again, going back to what we talked about with you know, some of the earlier conversations with new sports coming on, it's providing opportunities for student athletes and individuals. And I think it's one of the most interesting things is watching new sports come along and seeing student athletes who didn't previously have those opportunities. Bowling is a great example. We did a lot of research and numbers and, you know, probably 70-80% of those kids who bowl, that's the only sport they participate in. They're not multiple sport athletes. There are some certainly that cross over, and I think you hear all the discussion and how good it is to not single in on one sport and specialize in that, and multiple sport participation is so good. And providing adding more sports gives more of those opportunities, but it certainly opens the window for those kids who, you know, maybe aren't the type of athlete who can play basketball or football, but hey, bowling is a sport for me, or, you know, lacrosse is certainly one. I think you see a lot of crossover and multiple sport participation. You could see, football kids that play lacrosse. You see that a lot. Basketball, that certainly can trickle over into that as well. And then girls flag football is a new one where you've got those opportunities that never were there before. So it's opening windows to a lot of student athletes and providing those opportunities and giving them the experience of being a student athlete and participating with a team and in competition. That's the goal, and given as many of those opportunities as possible.
Matt, just share with folks the structure of TSSAA. I know that their executive director, Mark Reeves, is in his second year on the job, and from all I can see, he's doing a really good job. You've added a fifth assistant director there, but kind of talk about the process of TSSAA and mention a few names.
Yeah, so our staff is not, usually people get surprised when they hear how small our staff is. We've only got about, I think, 16 or 17 full-time individuals that work on staff in our office, and we're located in Hermitage. But it is, as we talked about earlier, it's an organization of member schools. There's over 450 member high schools, approximate same number of middle schools. That's continued to grow as we've offered more and more championships at the middle school level. And that's we oversee the Middle School Association, but it is a separate association. It's the TMSAA, Tennessee Middle School Athletic Association. But there are governing bodies within the organization, the Board of Control and Legislative Council are two 12-member bodies. Those members are elected by the schools within their geographic area, just like you see, you know, you elect your local congressman or senator or whatever. That's a similar process there. And they're charged with, you know, the Board of Control is probably the more visible entity of the two. They meet five times a year, sometimes additionally with special call meetings. But they deal with hardships. They deal with the state championship site selections, amongst many other things. But then you've got the Legislative Council, again, 12 different administrators, and those are all administrators of both bodies. They're principals, assistant principals, sometimes athletic directors of member schools. And so they, you know, will get with their constituents in their area who've elected them and get their feedback on items that have been proposed to the two bodies, and then they come and meet and vote on those items. So the structure's worked for so long. And, of course, it's changed. You know, the board and council used to be 9-member bodies, and we expanded that to 12 a few years back, or actually more than a few, to include independent schools having guaranteed spots on those entities, which was certainly a good expansion there to let them have more of a solidified voice on those. So that's kind of the process. But, yeah, we've got Mark Reeves is our new director. I say new, but as you mentioned, he's in his second year. He took over for Bernard Childress, who was executive director for close to 15 years. And I'll have to segue. I'd be remiss if I didn't. Bernard was recently inducted into the TSSAA Hall of Fame this past weekend. He was one of 8 people who went in there, and that was held there at the Student Union Building for the first time on the campus of NTSU. We used to have done it for years there at NTSU, but the first time. Well, we actually did it in Murfreesboro for many years at the Embassy Suites, but we moved to the Student Union Building this year. It was an outstanding event, a great location and great site for that. Mr. Childress, so well deserved. He put so much time and effort into the association. I've been with him since the mid-90s, executive director for, you know, a decade and a half, and I can't thank him enough for his guidance for the time that I worked under him and worked alongside him and everything I learned from him. So he was one we hated to see go, but he certainly deserved his retirement. He put in his time for sure, well over 3 decades in education. And we had some others inducted as well, a total of 8, a couple of other administrators and coaches and contributors. So it was a great event. So I had to segue into that now that I mentioned Mr. Childress.
Matt, let's finish up here. Safety is at the top of everybody's list in anything that we do, and TSSAA, I'm sure, is no exception to that. Share with us the steps that are being taken and have been taken I can't say ensure anyone's safety because nothing is absolute, but to enhance the safety process of the sports taking place.
Yeah, I think you've seen that grow over the years and the importance of it. And unfortunately, a lot of times you see something unfortunate occur with a student athlete, whether it's an injury or occasionally you see, you know, someone die from participation, whether it's in our state or somewhere else, that brings things to light where you need to put a little extra emphasis on it. But over the years, not only through TSSAA, we've got a sports medicine advisory council. We're actually extremely blessed. Somebody who is on that council, Dr. Alex Diamond, who's involved with Vanderbilt. He's been involved with ours. He was recently elected the new chair of the National Federation's Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. So we've got somebody in our own backyard who's doing things at the national level and is very well respected and revered for his knowledge and input. And to have him and all the others involved in the growth of some of the requirements we've got for coaches, whether that's through coaches' education and their safety training. You see things at the state level. It's not just TSSAA, but involved for all sports with sudden cardiac arrest and CPR training and things like that are requirements. And again, not just TSSAA requirements, but if you're involved in youth sports at any level, Safe Stars is one of the things Dr. Diamond was involved with. And there's so many schools that get involved and do additional training beyond what is just, you know, required by us that I think goes a long way. We've seen a lot of that here in Rutherford County. I know Greg Wyant at Siegel has been very involved with things on the countywide level, and certainly there at Siegel High School, and he's actually a member of our legislative council. So it's the strides that have been made to expand the importance of student athlete safety, you know, and looking at having AEDs nearby. I mean, just simple things like that. You know, it's a requirement to have one, but some schools, you know, you got three or four sports going on at different facilities throughout the campus. Well, how quick can you get to that? And a lot of schools are seeing that, hey, we need more than one, and we need one, you know, by the soccer field all the time. And we need one, you know, because so many things can happen. You just got to be prepared for them. And the importance of that is, you know, a top priority by all means. I mean, the safety of these student athletes is above and beyond what we need to make sure we strive to protect.
Matthew, let's close it this way. I just kind of give you a voice to share with the listeners the importance of fan participation and fan behavior and all that that goes with it, and just share the sportsmanship creed or code that TWAA has and the importance of following that.
Yeah, it's something we struggle with constantly, and it's you know, it's at every level. It's with coach ejections and things like that. But recently, we've done something that our board did something and implemented a fine for fan ejections, and we've certainly seen a lot of schools that have gotten those fines and fan ejections. I think one thing that we've noticed a lot of schools doing, it's not a mandate by us, but I think a lot of schools have chosen to say, look, we get fined for a fan ejection, we're going to make that fan pay for it.
Sure.
They're the ones that are responsible for their actions. And if they want to come back in our doors and watch another event, watch their child play again, they're going to have to pay for it. Usually, and hopefully, you know, it's a deterrent. Our goal is to hopefully not have any income or any money coming in from fan ejections throughout the year. We'd love to have that to be zero, because that means everybody's acting the way they need to act. But the reality is it's going to occur. But hopefully it acts as a deterrent. But it's gotten worse and worse, I mean, over the years. And I think it's one of the reasons you see stuff like that. We're not the only state that does that. There's certainly, you know, and we get that. We share ideas with other states and look at what others are doing. And a lot of those have done that, and it has been successful. But so that's something that's just a constant thing that we're looking at and trying to deter and encourage good sportsmanship. And you see a lot of positive things that do occur, whether it's the way teams interact with each other after a competition. You see a lot of those good things, and it kind of puts a little smile on your face and think, this is the way it needs to be done. That's what you want to see all the time. But that doesn't always occur. So you can't stress enough, you know, just be there and support. And I think for parents, and I'm a parent who's I've got a daughter who's participating in high school athletics now. My son is in college now, and he participated in three sports. And it's easy to get wrapped up and get emotional, sure. but also you got to think, what are my kids thinking about the way I'm acting? You know, am I being looked at by my kids? You see so many kids look up in the stands to their parents and just, you can tell they're embarrassed.
Yes.
And that's, you got to think about that. It's hard to in the moment, but it's something, you know, we want to continue to see good sportsmanship, whether it's student athletes or fans in the stands.
Matthew, do you and share with the staff the appreciation that I have personally and our listeners of All Sports Talk have for the great work that you do. And even though things are not perfect with TSSAA, I think things are running great and doing a great job for the kids.
Well, I appreciate it, Tim, and appreciate you having me on and everything you guys do there at the radio station. And you yourself, you've been involved in education for so many years, and you see the big picture, and can't thank you enough for your voice and everything you guys do and giving us this outlet to come on here and talk about things and hopefully be a little entertaining. I always enjoy my conversation with you, and I always appreciate it anytime you ask me to come on.
Appreciate you having on, Matt. That's going to wrap things up for All Sports Talk today. I'll be back on tomorrow. Lee D. Leon, Deputy Director of Athletics at Middle Tennessee State, will be with me tomorrow on All Sports Talk. Thanks for listening. All right,
Matt. All Sports Talk on News Radio WGNS has been brought to you by State Farm agents Andy Womack, Bud Morris, and Deb Insel, Chip Walters with Exit Realty, Bob Lamb and Associates, First Bank, Mike Tansel with My Team Insurance, Parks Auction Company, Greg Hall with Hall's Auto Care, Steve Ruckert with RAI Advisors, Fat Willie Sports Bar, Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home, and Rayburn Insurance in Smyrna.